Last year, indie rock stalwart Superchunk released Majesty Shredding, their first new album in 9 years. Original members Mac McCann and Laura Balance, along with John Worster and Jim Wilbur, are here. Formed in 1990, the band founded Merge Records to release their music and also resisted association with major labels along the way. The time suck of running the ever more successful Merge, as Mac does, may partially explain why it has been so long between Superchunk albums. But I ask him why now seemed to be the right time.
I guess we'd been talking about it for a while and, you know, playing a few shows every year, and it's always fun to play live. And we did have a good time doing that. But at a certain point, even if you're just playing a few shows a year, it feels like, man, it'd be nice to have some new songs to play. And, of course, then you want people to hear them. So we last year decided to kind of start the process of recording an album and just kind of see where it went. And we did it over the course of a year, but we didn't really work on it for the whole year. It was kind of a series of recording sessions, maybe like a weekend here, a weekend there, doing 3 or 4 songs at a time until we had a record. And we did it with a producer named Scott Salter, who managed to get a lot done with us in those small amounts of time. And it worked out. I mean, we did the first session last spring, and we did a 7-inch in time for the Merge 20th anniversary. That was the Crossed Wire single, and that was kind of the first session from the album. And that went really well and kind of let us know that we had a process that would work for us that was obviously different than the process that we used to do when we would go somewhere for 2 weeks or something.
And the process being you would provide people with demos of new songs?
Demos of new songs, and then not, you know, camping out in a studio for days on end, more just like kind of short bursts here and there, you know, which kind of worked for everybody.
Well, I love this new album. All the things you always love about Superchunk are all here in really great new songs. So what do you want to start off with?
We're going to start off with a song called Rosemary.
We could grab, it's all free. Take it from me, the days that we had. Take it from me, the moon and the stars. Take it from me, the light and the dark. Take it from me. Take it now, Rose. Take it now.
And that is Rosemary, one of the new ones from Superchunk. We're playing live today on the Cafe, the new album, Majesty Shredding. And if I may indulge in a bit of indie rock nostalgia, I was just thinking about how people talk about Superchunk being known as a great band, but also being known because of the choices you made to become independent, to form your own record label, and all these choices you made back in the day. It is so much easier for a band to be an independent band nowadays because of, you know, you can put a couple songs up on the web and everybody around the country knows about you. And, of course, when you guys started, none of that was true. And yet you were... it was never really a reality that you might have been wooed by a major label. And my understanding is that was mostly just, even back then, financially, it wouldn't have worked for you at all. Was that more the thinking, or was it a philosophical thing?
I think it was kind of like a long-term thinking in terms of when you talk about the finances of signing to a major label. I guess what they could offer was a large sum of money, you know, in advance, and then you're paying that back the rest of the time that you're in
kinda
that
like
relationship. And then, I mean, the other thing that maybe at one point they could offer was greater distribution in terms of getting records into stores and malls or whatever, and this is, you know, late 80s. That might have been a genuine advantage that they have, but by the time we started doing albums and stuff, even that advantage wasn't really there anymore, and there's independent distribution was much better. And so just never, there were no great examples in our minds, I think, of how that had worked out for people, at least people making music like us. So,
and there were examples of bands that it worked on an independent level. You think of somebody like Fugazi. They
sure
certainly continued.
I remember us just saying it was like the machine wasn't broken. It didn't need to be fixed. There was nothing they could offer that was, you know, just, it was kind of a no-brainer more than a soul searching.
Which is how it is often portrayed as a philosophical thing, but I totally can get it on both angles with that. And the other thing I wanted to ask, was it... the decision to form Merge and get off of Matador at one point, was that an easy one to make also?
We had already formed Merge in 1989, around the same time that the band had started, and put out 3 records on Matador. And by the time our contract with them was up, Merge had been going for a while, and we had put out a few albums. We had done a compilation of Superchunk singles and a Polvo record, and I can't remember if there were other
magnetic
things.
Magnetic Fields, maybe, the first Magnetic Fields.
Right, and so we were like, we thought we were ready.
Hmm. When was the point where Merge became more financially viable than Superchunk?
It took a long time.
I mean, they kind of ran concurrently from probably 95 to 2000, and then Superchunk started slowing down, and Merge kind of started picking up at that point. Seems like.
But Superchunk from early on was doing better than Merge was early on. For a while, Superchunk
was more our job.
Was definitely, our source of income. Mac, we had no income from Merge for the first 10 years.
Now, that slowing down of Superchunk, when you actually you consider the band kind of slowed down after you'd made some really great records. Was that, did that have a lot to do with the fact that you kind of took a break? You just decided to concentrate on other things for a while, or?
I think so.
Because I've heard you discuss that in the past.
I think we got kind of burnt out on the, you know, the endless cycle of touring and recording and writing and touring and recording. We did it pretty hardcore for about 11 years, I guess. And like Laura was saying, your ears just end up hurting after a while. Yeah.
Your brain ends up hurting after a while.
Well, which brings us to the video for Digging for Something, which if people haven't a chance to see it, it features Mac with an ersatz Superchunk doing a really intolerable gig somewhere, and the rest of you doing your day jobs. Now, I won't give all this away, but did you get to choose what your day jobs were in the video?
I think parts of it were down to what kind of locations would be available. Like for mine, it was a specific location was available that would be very funny. So I ended up being that person.
And that was.
And I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
And we knew that John would be the best at being funny.
I'm a dentist in it.
Yes, I'm a dentist. And Laura, you're a very sad potter with the pinch pottery guy kind of hitting on you.
Yes.
It's a very, very funny video. Well, so you got to do that tune. So this is Digging for Something?
Yeah.
song. That is Digging for Something, another one from Majesty Shredding as Superchunk are playing live on the Cafe today. Also kind of looking back. I'm wondering, as you guys get back together, this would be interesting to get your viewpoints on this. Who, over the stretch of the period of time that you guys have been together, going back there to the late 80s, who has changed the most in the band? Who's more different as you get back together?
Laura?
I think Jim may be the most different.
In what ways?
Because Jim used to hate touring.
Well, what's changed?
He's still the resident curmudgeon in the band, but it's not so much about touring. At some point, you had a
I'm glad we're only doing a week at a time. Uh-huh. Psychically, I'm not cut out for it. I'm no John Worster, that's for sure.
I still feel 25, which is probably not very healthy.
So we'll put you in the not change too much. And Laura, are you the other way now? Are you?
I guess I used to drink more.
I used to be very meek, and you're not meek anymore.
Yeah, I used to. Well, first I was more shy. Then I got more drunk. And then I realized I couldn't do that so much, and so I scaled that back, and now I'm not as shy. And I don't drink so much.
Max still a creep.
I'm still a creep. Nothing changed. Nothing new there.
Well, it's interesting how you're building the record jacket, and you know it's in alphabetical order. Is Mac, because he writes the song, the de facto leader, or just how does that or what's the dynamic here?
I think it's a democracy, he
has the most energy to deal with stuff. Yeah. So it's
he has the most assertive personality, maybe.
Yeah. You let the strong link.
I mean, major decisions are usually everyone giving their input, but I think that, especially I think on this record, kind of making sure that it moved forward.
Right. Well, thus concludes our little therapy session with Superchunk. And that said, do you want to do an older tune? Or?
Sure.
You betcha. We'll be right back.
Super Junk are live today. Jim Wilbur, John Worster, Laura Balance, and Mike McCann are playing live in our studios. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Super Junk here on the World Cafe.